in Acts, the 7th chapter, start with the 47th verse. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which shunned before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Now, here, this was Stephen bringing a message that ended up costing him his life. But, you know, what I was thinking of here, each and every one of us, we know our life is supposed to be a place fit for the Lord to dwell in, and we should know to keep it that way. We need to be often with our mind and our heart into the Word of God and in prayer. We need to often be listening to what God is requiring of us. And we need to think, what is it that I am doing for God? And you know, each and every one of us has a responsibility. We're doing something for the Lord if we're a Christian. And if we're not doing anything for God, then it's a good sign. We're not bringing forth that good seed the way that we should. And you know, you might look at your life and say, well, I don't preach, I don't sing. Well, there's other jobs that God needs done besides that. They're witnessing to the people that we meet in our daily life. They're being an example in front of our children in our daily life. They're that of the nine old self that the world can see. Just exactly what it is that God required of that. And as I was praying and here a while ago, and I was thinking about people and how they don't look like that they need to go to church anymore. The way that people used to hunger and desire to go. And I was just thinking, as we put the marked houses up this year, and we're cleaning the world, and here's the birds that call. Why they know they were there? Hibernation every night to exist to the next day, because they need so many calories, because they're so active. And you and I, we are in a way a whole lot like a hummingbird. But we can't go into hibernation. We need to stay in tune with God night and day. When we're asleep, you know, I found this out. If you go to sleep thinking about the things of God with your mind upon the Lord, 99% of the time, if you have a dream, it's going to be something good. But if you go to bed with your thoughts upon the things of this world and all your troubles and everything, you have a dream, it will be bad. So you and I, it's a proven fact. If we keep our mind and our heart tuned into the things of God, God's already got everything that we need for us. He just waits for me and you to make a place in our heart where God can dwell. And people today say, oh, I no longer think you can talk to God. And it's because they don't have a place for the Lord. So if he's not there, how can you talk to him? My wife, when she was away for a few days with her, there when the baby first came, I walked in the house. If I talked to girl, I had to pick up the phone and make the effort to dial and talk to her. Well, you and I, if we're not satisfied, why can't we look around and God don't seem to be ever the guy there? Whether we know what we are, we can get on our and then we can find out he hasn't changed. He's still right there. You and I, a lot of times, we don't set our mind and our heart to know anything about God. We're so tied up with the things of this world, and we never stop to think how much that we need God each and every day in our life to keep the Spirit going. You know, I can know beyond a shadow of any doubt that my sin is forgiven. I can know beyond a shadow of any doubt that there is nothing between me and God that has not been prayed and got out of the way to where that I know I've got a clear connection between me and God. But if I sit down and just don't do anything, don't pray, don't read my Bible for a solid week, that connection is still not there. It's just not there as strong. Why? I knew that my sin was forgiven, but I quit communicating and feeding upon the Word of God. And you know, there's a song out that had a play on words. 7 days in a week without prayer and stuff makes 1 week. Well, it does. You and I today, 7 days without reading our Bible and praying. Don't tell me when you come to church, oh, I'm an old fire Christian. You're not. You're cold and indifferent, as they used to say. And the Bible said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why, it's time for me and you to be on fire. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, but I cannot tell you the times in my life. Though I've read the Bible through any number of times, I've never kept a record of it, but quite a few times, I've read it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And yeah, there'll be days that I sit down and I'll read something in the Bible, and before the sun sets on that day, what I read in the Bible that day was exactly what I needed to hear from what I was facing. It's still alive. It's still something that speaks to it. And we need it. I've had beans and potatoes since I was a child. And it's something that I still love. And it still gives me strength and nourishment. And I eat it. You and I today, people say, oh, you quit feeding upon it and realizing who it was that sent it. And if you find reading other books more exciting to you than the Bible, it's because you've quit looking at it as being God's Word speaking to you. And you're looking at it as just any book. But when you begin to read it and listen, you'll find it still communicates to us if we've got our ears open. You know, you'll find quite a few places in the Bible. It says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. You and I, that's why I like to read the Bible aloud. Not only so my eyes see it, but so my ears can hear it and it registers in my brain, maybe a little better. Your brain might be better than mine. You might not have to hear the words, but I find it helps when I hear what I'm seeing and reading. Each and every one of us today, we need to spend the time reading God's Word. What's wrong? People don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. They cannot get up of the morning to get to the house of God. But you know, it's a strange thing. They can get up on Saturday and play all day long at some sport or whatever that they enjoy. But Sunday come around, they just feel too bad. Why? They do not enjoy serving God like they did the other. And yet, you talk to them, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but that soul's not right with God, or that would be more important than the other thing. You and I, we can't say we're in the will of God if the desires of this world mean more to us than being in the house of God. I've been there. I've been to the place where I was discouraged about going because I felt like nobody wanted to hear. And you just have to make yourself almost go. But you know, then you read in the Bible where God told the prophet, they're not going to hear you. But you speak to them and so they'll know they've been a prophet among them. Why he would preach it unto the people, give them God's word to deliver his soul. Me and you, we must do the same thing. If our children act though, they don't want to hear, then don't quit speaking at all. Speak twice as much at all. Tell them that when they stand before God, your hands will be clean, and they'll know that you love them enough to warn them. And me and you, we might hear the words of the Lord, but we must also obey it. You know, the house that God wants us to build for Him is a pure heart, one that's undefiled from the things of this world, a person that takes inventory daily upon their life. You know, when I finish off the day, I like to finish it off with a prayer. And you know, I always want to start my prayer off, first of all, asking God to forgive me if I've done anything wrong. And you know, a lot of times it had registered that I had really done anything. But you go saying that, and sometimes something will come to your mind that it would have been better if you hadn't have done it, or better if you hadn't have thought it, or better if you hadn't have said it. You and I, that's God letting us know what He's requiring. When we come before Him with a sincere heart, and we realize we're not perfect, we begin to talk to God from a sincere heart, God will speak back to us. It might be through a thought in our mind that's so clear that we know it's God speaking to us. Or it might be that it sounds so clear to us. You want to turn around and look to see who it is that's speaking. Because it seems like somebody ought to be standing there that your eyes can see because you heard it so plain. God still communicates if we only listen. If we have a hungry heart that desires to know. You'll find here, listen to this. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear, you did always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Or so do ye. You and I today, you know, we can look at the Word of the Lord and we can see example after example after example of children following what their parents do. Me and you, we need to make sure that we're not stiff-necked. We need to make sure that our heart is not hardened to the things of God, but that we stay humble before Him. That our children can see that our heart is touched by the Word of God. Have you ever sat and read the Bible with your children and then see tears start to flow down your face? You know, a young child a lot of times will ask them, why are you crying? And then that opens the door up for you to tell them just what it is. Why? And they begin to realize there's something to this. They really mean it. It really matters to them. You know, little grandsons can ask questions that you wonder where they come from. But you know, they have a way of getting right to the heart of a matter. Sometimes they will ask why to the word why almost. But yet, then there's other times that they ask something that they really want to know. Me and you, that gives us a chance to teach them valuable lessons, if we will. You know, each one of us, we can care. You know, I don't understand the song that the Martins sing. They act like, boy, one another, they really understand it, and they do, I guess. But to me, it's just beautiful, and I enjoy it, but I don't understand it. But I put the houses up because I enjoy listening to them. I enjoy watching them fly. They can't say thank you, but what they do lets me know they appreciate it because they come back year after year. And that's all the thanks I need. You might not feel like what you say communicates to God good enough how thankful you are, but your life that God's looking at and how you live it, it communicates far more than any words you could say. If you're pleased with what God is sending your way, He'll see that when you come daily unto His temple to worship Him. Not necessarily this building. I believe we need to come here as often as the doors are open. But each and one of us, we can have a place to worship God in our daily life. That goes between me and you, or between you and God. I mean, each and one of us, I don't have to be a church, but wherever I humble my heart before God, He can be right there with me. I've been riding on the four-wheeler and praying and talking to God and being blessed by Him at the same time. You and I, each and every day of our life, we need to have a time set aside that we spend just with God. No matter what else we're doing, we can be on the draw hand, draw wall, run up a chain, out in the dirt, digging, whatever it might be. But I'll keep letting it happen. They don't care our mind and our heart, though. We can still be praying and talking to God. Hey, listen to what He has to say. And you and I, God's waiting to see what kind of a building we're going to build for Him. And you know the wonderful part about it? If we're working at it and really trying, God will continually let us know what He's pleased with. He don't wait till we get something done and then tell us, no, I'm not satisfied with that. He lets us know as we're working on it. if we'll listen. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, God don't speak to me anymore, but yet I've had people to come and ask me, being a preacher, is so-and-so wrong? Well, when the question rose in their mind, whether it was right or wrong, that was God telling them, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, because after all, what is it in this life that you have ever come across that really was right and pleasing with God, that the question ever raised in your mind, could this be wrong? It don't do it, does it? It's those borderline things that we need to stay away from. When that question arises, it's not essential for our life to have that. So even if there was no wrong in it, it's still better for us to lay it down if there's a question about it, isn't it? And you know, it might be something that really you could partake in. But there may be somebody that's looking at your life that thinks that's wrong, and God's letting you know, just lay it down. Each and every one of us. God does not waste time speaking to us and communicating with us. He wants us to be pleasing to Him. And you know, I could not count the times in my life that I woke up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whatever when it was come time to start getting ready for church that I felt bad. Carol sitting back there, I don't know at the times I've heard her say it. I don't know at the times I've said it. I really don't even feel like going, but I'm going to go anyway. And you know, usually when you put forth that effort, by the time you're ready to go, or at least when you're in the car going, whatever was bothering you, it leaves. But do you realize if you got something that bothers you, think right off, well, I'm just not going to go. I'm going to stay home. You will not get to feeling better until you've totally missed out on what God had for you. You know, I have actually been in services that God sent a message, and the person that really needed to hear it the worst was not there, and that next week, if they had heard that message, it wouldn't have fell in the pit that you fell in. Was that God's fault? No. They let the devil cheat them out of being there when God sent something to prepare them for what was ahead. You and I, we cannot eat if we're not sitting at the table. We don't come to where the food is. You can be on the outside of the house. You can smell it coming through the windows. But it won't do you any good. Have you ever been actually sick and home and somebody come home and go tell them about the service that if you really was actually sick and you really wanted to be there, it almost made you feel worse when you heard what a good service they had because you missed it. Well, how much worse must you feel if you let the devil cheat you out of going when you could have went and somebody comes home and tells you what a good service they had? You and I, our hunger and our desire should be in the house of the Lord. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us, that we'll get down to business and pay attention to the house that we're building for the Lord, because there's children's lives at stake. This is a small church. And I'm the most senior person here, and Carol's next. Then there's a few that's sort of in the middle there. Then there's another group that is a very small group that's just come adults. But then there's a whole bunch more down here that's children. And if that middle, and that's just below the middle, don't pick up those small ones, they're not going to have any chance. There's a responsibility that's greater than any of us realize. I could be gone at any time. Carol could be gone at any time. The next generation The load is going to fall on you. And if you don't do all that you can right now, when the load falls on you, are you going to be ready to carry? It might be too late then to try and get the fire going if you've been letting it linger. You know, you can take wood that's been burnt some and then got wet, put out, and you try and start a fire with that again. Outside of that, it's just like a sponge holding that water. You cannot hardly get it going at all. That's the same way with a person's life that was once on fire, and the fires went out. It's so hard to get that fire going again. They can hear a message, and you'll see a flash. But then they're right back down to where they were before. And you and I, we're going to have to do something. You know, a lot of times, the only way to get that old wet wood going is get a bunch of good wood around it, burning real hard and bright. And it'll get that dryness, that wetness that's in there, out to where that fire can really start burning. Me and you, if we're seeing brothers and sisters that's not on fire the way they should be, maybe if we got the fire kindled in our life real big and bright, we wrapped our arms around them, it could catch them on fire again for the Lord. And each and every one of us, we better make sure that we're doing what God would have us to, and recognizing that, you know, it isn't every church, if you go down the road that you come across, that you can go in and get your soul fed. There's more of them that you won't feel anything but the pew you're sitting on than there is that you'll feel the Spirit really moving. Well, if we have a place where we can feel the Spirit moving, we better be there as often as we can. And let's try and get somebody to come and go with us. Invite them. You might say, well, I've invited them. Invite them again and again and again. You know, I remember so many times the testimony of Delmer Parson and Jerry Wood. How many times Delmer invited Jerry to go to church. And finally, Jerry come for no other reason than to get Delmer off his back. He was just so tired of seeing him come, because Delmer and Jerry both had broken legs. And just every day or two, Delmer couldn't drive. So he told his wife, he said, take me over to Jerry. And they go over to Jerry. And he'd start in on Jerry again. And we could come into church, Jerry. Finally, Jerry came. Got right with the Lord, and God called him to preach. I heard Delbert say, I'd be willing to have the other leg broke again if I could gain one more for the Lord. You and I, sometimes it may be a storm in our life that the devil will just try to get you so discouraged to make you throw up your hands and quit, that God can turn it around to bring a great thing about. Look at Paul there when he's on board the ship. All the people there, they all hear the ship is going to go down. And then some of these prisoners might escape. What do they think the best thing would be? Would be to kill them. But Paul totally said, we all got to stay in the ship. We don't get out of the lifeboat. We got to stay in the ship because God shall be happy. If we do, we'll survive. Well, the ship begins to break up. Paul said, the one that can swim, you jump in the water. The others get a hold of the piece of the ship. And everyone of them still survived. The centurion and those that were guard, they put their faith and trust in Paul. He proved himself, he knew what he was talking about. You and I today, the world's looking to see if we know what we're talking about. So if we were witness to them, about the good things of the Lord and live a life in front of them, after a while they'll see that there's something to it. And, you know, just like, I don't know if babies coming back is, I guess, partially how that your colony of martins grow. But, you know, you and I, if we communicate to people or we found a good place to get our soul fed, you know, it might cause somebody to get interested enough to come. You take the little wren, they mate for life. And yet the male arrives in the nesting area 2 weeks or so before the female. And if a female's mate dies and she pairs off with another one, it's been a proven fact because of banding. They had a male that had nested in Maryland, and the female the year before had nested in Ohio. And both of them lost their mates during the winter. And they paired up. The male appeared in the yard for the female, because she's the one that designates for the nest. He appeared in the yard in Ohio, where she nested the year before, 2 weeks before she arrived. He had never been in that state. He had been raised in Maryland, and that's where he had nested his first year. But that bird communicated to him somewhere or another where she had nested. Or God did it, nobody knows. They just knew where the bird had been banded before. You and I, if God can communicate to birds like that, aren't you and I able to listen to the voice of the Lord and find out what God wants of us? Can't we communicate to those around about us how important it is to serve a true and a living God? Let's make sure that we're not the one that's letting the things of life that really are important slip by. And that's a way of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Our children, as we heard at the beginning of the service, our children, if they see things in us that they mock, that we do daily, then let them see the things of the Lord that we do daily, that they'll want to imitate that. You know, if they begin to get down on their knees and pray because they see that's something that you do and is important to you, when trouble comes, they're going to automatically want to call upon a God that they know can change them. Each and every one of us, please, don't let the vital things of life slip by. While we sing verses of some song. What house are you building for the Lord to dwell in? Is it one that's pleasing unto Him? Do you take the work that the Lord has for you serious? Or are you just figuring, I'm just coasting by? You know, if you're in a car on top of a hill, it don't even need a motor to get to the bottom of that hill. But to climb a hill, you're going to need a motor in it, isn't it? Me and you, in our Christian life, when we first get right with the Lord, it might seem like it's all downhill for a ways. But there's coming a hill out there we're going to have to climb. And to do it, we're going to have the power of God in our life. And the only place to get that is with communication with our brothers and sisters in Christ and on our knees before God. And I beg you, don't let these things slip. Why are we saying, will you come? If there's something lacking in your life, will you come? Each and every one of us, please, don't let the devil defeat you with problems that comes your way. Put your faith and trust in God. You know, if you're doing a job that you've never done before, and you know somebody around that's experienced in it, you run into a problem, you're going to go to them and ask, aren't you? What do I do when this happens? Well, me and you, we got Christian brothers and sisters that's there that's ready and willing to lend a hand with us in our Christian life when we come to problems. But we've got one that 24/7 is there that we can call upon. He's got the answer to every one of the problems. You know, when I was a young Christian, the devil was just beating up on me something awful, making me feel so ashamed because of failings in my life. And though I was doing all I could to overcome these things, I just thought, nobody else has these kind of problems. They all just good Christians. They never have any problems like this. Why is it always me having any problems? The devil's trying to tell me, you're just not a Christian or this wouldn't be happening. And I finally got bold enough that I mentioned it before two or three brothers what kind of a problem I was having, and they went to laugh. And they said, he does that to every one of us. That's the same thing he tells me. That's the same thing he tells everybody. You just do what God tells you, and it'll be all right. You and I, when the devil comes to us and tries to beat us down, don't take it. Get on your knees and pray and talk to God. Talk to a brother or sister. Confess to them your faults, your failures. You'll find out you're not alone. Every one of us has our faults. Every one of us has failures. None of us is so good that we don't occasionally have to get on our knees and tell God we're sorry for how we failed. But if we got too much pride to get down there and do that, we will never see heaven. Pride has to be something that we throw away. We come humbly down before the Lord.